Welcome, nerds, once again to your nerd news. Another week of writer's strike means another very special episode of the nerd news. So regardless of which platform you're on, you're getting the whole show. In the music section, we have a resurfacing, apparently, of a classic musical artist that has been off the radar for some time. In gaming and tech, we have Mortal Kombat 1 updates to talk about, as well as the PlayStation State of Play event that went over okay. In the TV section, we have a Witcher announcement that seems perplexing. In movies, we have Mortal Kombat 2 updates to talk about and so much more. And a rumor mill that honestly just will not stop exploding and so much more to talk about. Let's do the thing. So, before we get into the other news, let's talk housekeeping, shall we? Last week, we had a surprise stream because the episode went up late, and then I got to get about an hour and a half, 2 hours worth of a stream in. Wasn't a news episode. It was just testing new gear, effectively, which worked out fairly well. There are a couple of bugs that still need to be worked out, one of which is an audio bug that I have been dealing with for some time with OBS because I just don't understand where the miscommunication is. Whole other thing. But yeah, so there was a stream last week that will not be the case going forward. Again, we are still some ways away before we can get back into regular streaming schedule. So you're stuck with the pre-recorded shows for the time being. As far as the other things go, there are two episodes of That Just Happened and two shout-out shows that still need to get posted because day job is kicking my ass. I apologize. It is what it is. ADHD is a thing, and when my schedule changes, it takes me some time to find a new set so I can get all of the things done. So that is kind of where we're at. I am attempting things to help and so on and so forth, but until that happens, that's where we are. As far as the other things in this episode, we've got a huge situation over in the gaming and tech section that really I'm super excited to talk about, as well as probably the biggest music section we have had in I want to say like a year, maybe even 2 years. It's just gigantic. It is the summer, even probably since before the pandemic even. So just enormous. We have honestly a lot more in TV and in movies than I anticipated, which brings me to the next point as far as things going forward on the channel. And that is that very likely we'll be coming to an end of this writer's strike soon-ish. So possibly next week, we might be doing the final special episode, assuming we can get back to announcing new things. We do have some trailers and stuff that have come out, but like I said, the writer's strike has put a lot of stuff on hold and has stopped a lot of new things from getting announced because you can't do anything in the entertainment industry without writers. So yeah, it seems that because we are on a bit of an uptick right now as it pertains to TV and movies, that we are very near some sort of agreement or something, because there's a lot more new things happening. So all of that being said, that is the housekeeping for this episode. Let's jump into the news. Starting things off in the music side of the entertainment world, the pop culture world, we don't have any corrections. We don't have anything like that. No follow-ups to necessarily deal with, but we do have plenty of new music to talk about. So let's do that, shall we? First up in new music, we got another new track from the Foo Fighters. This is a unique track. The name of the track is called The Teacher. It is coming from their forthcoming record. It's huge. This is a 10-minute song from the Foo Fighters, which was a little bit unexpected, but it's It's great. I just kind of miss the days of the Foo Fighters when they were silly and just out to have a crazy amount of fun. I realize that this song, as it pertains to, you know, the Foo Fighters and where they are now in their musical journey, is a sign off to Taylor Hawkins, and very explicitly so. But I still miss the days of just the Everlong video and the My Hero video and just them being goofy and having fun. Again, not to say this is a bad tune. I don't think the Foo Fighters can write bad music, and this is definitely a recommend. Though, be aware you are in for a long haul, because as pre-mentioned, it's 10 minutes. So that brings us to Signs of the Swarm has a new track that just dropped, coming off of a new album that will be out July 28th. Tickets are available for pre-sale. The Low, Amongst the Low and the Empty is the name of the album. The name of the track is Tower of Torsos. Signs of the Swarm is very noteworthy because they are the band that gave Lorna Shore their previous vocalist, CJ, before the CJ, you know, was, yeah, got himself kicked out. Either way, Signs of the Swarm has been around for a minute. This is kind of state of things as far as deathcore goes. This is not exactly something that puts them above the rest of the pile of deathcore bands that are out there these days, but towards the top. I wouldn't say, again, they're not Lorna Shore. They're not a number of other bands I could probably list right here. Whitechapel. Oh my God, Whitechapel. But this is still a standout track for sure. Definitely I recommend go check out Tower of Torsos from Signs of the Swarm. Brings us into Johnny Booth. Johnny Booth has dropped a new track. This one is called Full Tilt. Johnny Booth, I miss the days of metalcore where most of the bands sounded like this. These guys are a little bit of a throwback in the genre, and I am here for it. This song specifically is a prime example of that. I'm talking very specifically about the style of vocals, where we get the kind of the yelly kind of vocal with the scream vocal, and then you even get a little bit of a melodic vocal here. So yeah, I'm super, super stoked about this. Also, very impressed with the length of this song. Not every day do you see a quality metalcore song go over 4 minutes long. Actually, I believe this one even scrapes past 5 minutes. I'm not looking at the time right now, but yeah, very good, very solid, very reminiscent of better days in the metalcore genre. Absolutely 100% recommend this Johnny Booth track. It is just good all over. Then we're into a new track from Josta, Jamie Josta's side project that is not Hatebreed. This is a track called Assimilate Agenda. It features Steve Souza, aka Zetro, on vocals. Josta, I just feel like Jamie Josta is at his finest when he has Hatebreed as his backing band. When he is fronting the band that got him famous, that is where Jamie Josta feels the most effective. Not to say this is a bad song necessarily, but it very much is to say that basically everything he's done with Hatebreed is better than this song. There's something always feels a little lacking in Jamie's side project stuff, and in Hatebreed it is full force. So minor recommend, because again, very solid track, but if you're expecting Hatebreed level production, you're not gonna get it here. All right, so Code Orange is giving us new music, and I am all about new stuff from Code Orange. Last record kind of lost me a little bit, got a little butt rocky, didn't really dig that so much. But again, Code Orange, even when they're not at their best, they're still better than about 90% of other bands that are in similar genres, because what genre is Code Orange anymore? Dropped two new tracks. As I'm recording this, they are only available on SiriusXM, because I looked. The name of the songs are Grooming My Replacement and The Game. This is kind of a return to form to the Forever album, which I'm totally here for, mixed with I can't remember the name of the record. It was the record that came out after Forever, where they got really heavy into the industrial and electronic kind of sounds. It's a fantastic meshing of those two iterations of the band. And I really hope this is the line that they stick with and they kind of steer clear of that butt rock stuff from the previous record. This is very exciting. Go check out the new Code Orange once it's available, because right now, unless you have Sirius XM, you don't get to listen. And this is not exactly new music, not exactly a new video, but a remaster video in celebration of the 20th anniversary of a record that makes me feel really old that it's 20 years old. And that is the Deftones self-titled record. New video for Bloody Cape, or remastered video for Bloody Cape, so it is in high definition. It took me a second to remember this song, so I was like, this sounds familiar, and it's in 4:3 ratio, this video. I don't get... Oh, it's because remastered celebration, 20 years. The name of the track is Bloody Cape. It's Deftones, this is the Deftones that I fell in love with. Deftones when they were heavy. Deftones when they were still experimental, but really had some angst to work out. This is Deftones at their finest. Go check out the new video for Bloody Cape. It's worth your time. Just for no other reason than they have Chi on bass back then, and Chi Chang was a great addition to this band, and he is sorely, sorely missed in his passing. Next up is a band that I thought I remembered a little bit, and then I listened to this song and was kind of thrown off and went back and listened to a couple of their previous singles and remembered, oh yeah, that is not who I thought it was. Fever 333 has dropped a new track. It's called Swing, but the S is a dollar sign, if that helps. The video concept is really cool. I really thought I remembered liking this band a lot more. But again, when I went back and listened to other singles from previous records, maybe I misremember. I'm confusing them with somebody else. I just don't remember who. Either way, solidly produced. Just not a fan of where their sound exists. It's not even where they're going with their sound. This is just the band as they are. A little bit heavier on the rappy kind of vocals in a like new metal core kind of sound as far as the instrumental goes. And I don't know. Just feels a little not my style. That's all I got. So as far as like production value and all that stuff goes, it seems to be really popular amongst the fan base. So if you're a fan of Fever 333, absolutely recommend this track. If you are not a fan of 333, but you're open to their stuff, I don't know that this is necessarily going to win you over to their side, but it's not something I'm going to turn off if I ever hear it on the radio. So I guess that's kind of a win. Final piece of new music for the episode is Hunt the Dinosaur. New track called Tinfoil Hat. This is where I imagine like the evolution of new metal went, is kind of new deathcore. New core? I don't know where you're going to go with that, but Hunt the Dinosaur is... I feel like they've gotten a lot more serious about their sound. If you listen to their older stuff, it's a lot more goofy in the delivery. Always very technical, always very heavy. So that's not really been an issue. But I feel like they just got a little bit more serious in how they deliver their music. Still with a sense of humor. There is still, if you watch this video, definitely, and the name of the song even, unto itself, Tinfoil Hat, kind of lends itself to comic relief. Which is, I'm sure they would not be offended at this. So, yeah. This is just a band that is starting to hit their stride and hit it very, very well. 100% recommend the new Hunt the Dinosaur track, Tinfoil Hat. Okay, so from there, we have tours and festivals to talk about. New tours that have been announced over the course of the last week. We have an interesting one in here, and that is Danzig, but we'll get to that. First up, though, we have Chevelle and 3 Days Grace have announced a tour together. The supporting act will be Loathe. This is a co-headlining tour, though I believe, if I'm reading the marketing correctly, 3 Days Grace will be the final band on the bill, and Chevelle will be on before them, but they're both going to have approximately the same length of a set, which is how co-headlining works. So support, it will be coming from the band Loathe. It is giving you fair warning, as I feel like, No, that's about it. This is a Live Nation tour, just to give you your fair warning, because that might deter some people from going to see it because, you know, Ticketmaster, Live Nation situation as of late, not the greatest. But it starts in September, on September 8th in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, runs through October 14th in Boston, Massachusetts. Tickets are available as of June 2nd at 10 a.m. if you go to livenation.com, or if you go through Ticketmaster because they're the same company, you'll be able to find it there as well. From there, we have Danzig has announced that he is going on a the last tour for a while. I'm not going to say a retirement tour. I'm not going to say that he's going to never going to tour again, because they very explicitly are not saying that. But they are saying it will be some time before Danzig hits the road again. This time he is taking with him Behemoth, Twin Temple, and Midnight. This tour starts August 25th in Las Vegas, Nevada, runs through September 17th in Chicago, Illinois. Tickets go on sale. There is a link. I did find a link, but it will not get you any tickets until June 1st. So probably by the time you're watching this, they will be live. You can go get tickets. There's, I think it's like 10 or 12 dates. So he's not going to a lot of places. So if you have yet to see Glenn Danzig and you understand that he has a bit of a mouth on him, this very potentially could be his last tour. But yeah, his social media is making it very clear that he will not be touring for some time. Presumably, it's probably to work on new music, new art projects of some sort. He does like to do movies and so on and so forth. So yeah, very likely he'll be turning his attentions to other creative outlets, and we won't get any music from him for a while. So if you want tickets, go get tickets. Link in the description. That's what we got for tours. Let's move over to regular ass news. We've got some heavy hitters in regular ass news. We're going to start a little bit light though with All That Remains. The All That Remains record, Fall of Ideals from 2006, has just been certified gold. So congratulations to Phil Labonte and the boys in All That Remains. You guys are doing a good thing out there in the metal community. From that, we have Pantera in the same vein. Cowboys from Hell, their record from 1990, has just been certified double platinum. Yeah, that's pretty freaking huge. So while they are on tour with their almost reunion, this news comes as a welcome announcement, I guess is a way to put that. Super excited for Phil and Rex and the memory of Dimebag and Vinnie Paul. That's just incredible. Congratulations, boys. All right. So from there, from the old music, we have our big announcement in the music section. It would seem that none other than Mr. Tom Waits himself, as reported by one of his managers, is in writing mode. He is working on new musical material. He has not given us a new record since Bad As Me, which I believe came out in 2011. Somebody check me on that because I didn't write it down. But yeah, Bad As Me was the last record that he released, and it's been a long, long time since that came out. And he only toured a handful of times since that album dropped. So very potentially this could be the last outing from Tom Waits as well, as he is getting a little long in the tooth, if you will. But very excited to see what comes out of this. We will absolutely be keeping tabs on this. From there, we have another back from the dead kind of situation in music, and that is Shadows Fall. So they have been doing some reunion shows, and Brian Fair in a number of interviews recently, has alluded to the fact that there might be new music. And then even more recently, I think it was with Blabbermouth specifically, might have been Metal Injection, I can't remember, but very, very specifically, Brian has said, yes, there are in fact new riffs being thrown around. They are playing with potentially putting out new material as Shadows Fall. Recent pictures from their recent gigs, Brian's dreads are just as wonderful as ever, and the licks are just as tasty as ever as well. So very excited to potentially be hearing new music from the band Shadows Fall. It's been a little while, boys. And then from there, speaking of new music, Cradle of Filth has announced that writers strike be damned. We write our own music, so we're going to make a new record. Cradle of Filth just put out a new record not that long ago, are in the process of putting out a double live album with two new tracks on it. And then they're also going to be writing a brand new entire record, potentially not due out for another year plus, but very exciting for the heavy community. And then our final piece of news for music, regular ass news, is Architects, the band that kind of has redefined the current sound as far as metalcore and just kind of the general idea of modern metal. Architects, those guys have parted ways with their bass player, or guitar player rather, who has been playing, Josh Middleton, who has been playing guitar for the band since 2016, who also is in the band Psilosis, has officially left the band. It sounds like it is fairly amicable, though no official word from the Josh Middleton camp directly. But we did have Architects say, you know, look forward to hearing new Psilosis music in the very near future. So that's potentially where what the final straw was that just decided a split was necessary. And yeah, just sounds like potentially more music from both bands, and that's never a bad thing. So that's what we have for regular ass music. That leaves only this week's musical suggestion. And this week's musical suggestion is my favorite live Tom Waits record, Nighthawks at the Diner. Technically counts as his fourth album that he put out, because it was new music, but it was recorded live in front of a number of audiences, because it took place over the course of four different recording sessions at a live venue. And just a fantastic example of the character of Tom Waits and the beauty of the music that he puts out. Go check out Nighthawks at the Diner. That is your suggestion for the week. Gaming and tech is where we're going next. Music was huge. Gaming and tech also rather large. We've got some Mortal Kombat updates to talk about. Not rumors. We do have rumors that we will be going over in the rumor mill, but right now we are talking updates. We are talking Metal Gear updates with the Metal Gear Delta situation. There's been a number of other announcements in that camp, as well as a pretty big thing for you Bethesda fans out there. So stick around to the end of the regular ass news section. Until then, though, let's talk about follow-ups and corrections. And our first follow-up is the Mortal Kombat 1 situation. We know that there is going to be a beta in August. We know that the only way to get beta access is to pre-order the game. Pre-order any version of the game. There are three different versions. There is the regular version, the premium version, and the collector's edition. Collector's is mine. And then whatever else, you know, all you have to do is pre-order and you get into the beta. Well, much like they did with Mortal Kombat 11, there is going to be a stress test beta that happens before the actual beta in August. No date has been given just yet, aside from the fact that they are making it known on the website that there will be a stress test. I don't believe there was any other details as to how... Oh no, I take that back. If you have a Warner Brothers account, there is a link in the description. You can follow that link in the description and go register your account with that game specifically, and that is how you pre-register to potentially get in to be part of the stress test. Stress test is similar to a beta, only it's much more limited, especially, again, going off of the how they ran the Mortal Kombat 11 launch. There will be a severely limited number of characters to choose from as far as the fighting goes. Usually runs over the course of a weekend, so it's going to be difficult with the day job. But all they're doing is testing servers, testing the durability of the servers, if there's any bugs that they need to work out before they roll into the beta. Presumably, it will be about a month to 2 months before the beta happens in August, so it kind of gives us a rough time frame. That being said, that's what we got for Mortal Kombat. Let's move next to Diablo 4. This is the thing that I wish a lot more video games would take into consideration. And I'll elaborate on that after we get through the piece. The piece is that the first 1,000 players of Diablo 4, now that it has launched, the first 1,000 players that reach hardcore level 100 before June 6th, before June 6th, they will become part of the game lore, effectively. You will get your name emblazoned on a statue, one statue for all 1,000 names. That is a statue of Lilith. That very little is known about the dimensions or the details of the statue, but we do know it's going to be a statue of Lilith, who is the game's antagonist. And yeah, if you reach level 100, you will be part of that statue. Presumably, if there are not 1,000 players that have reached level 100 by June 6th, then they're just going to take anyone who has made that achievement, because it sounds like that's going to be very difficult. Also, has been getting incredible reviews, so should be a fun one to attempt, though that is definitely not up my alley. That being said, let's move right along. Let's go over next to Microsoft. In a very unsurprising move, Microsoft has launched their appeal against the decision from the UK advisory board to block their Activision acquisition. We saw this one coming. It was kind of announced that they were planning to do this. They have officially done this. So let's see what happens, shall we? From that, let's talk The Last of Us. I think this could be just rumor, could be a faked photo, could be something. But this is, I'm flying off script real quick. I'm pretty sure I saw a beta test of The Last of Us on Xbox. Somebody get to the internet and make let's have the conversation as to whether or not that was a fake image or not. And then we'll probably talk about it in the shout out show next week. But yeah, very interesting there. Anyway, Last of Us. We have the Sony State of Play event happened last week, shortly after last week's episode was recorded, and probably during the time that I was editing and uploading. But it happened, and there was a very big noticeable issue with that, and that was that the multiplayer element of The Last of Us game was absent, even though they've been talking about it for some time. The Naughty Dog claims that it is still being worked on. They just need a little bit more time to put some polish on it before they can make any sort of announcements as to time frame for rollout and so on and so forth. So it seems that the issues are coming with the factions mode. Not entirely sure what that means, but as we get closer to the proper announcement, they'll let us know, and then I'll inform you in case you are unaware. So yeah, that is what we have for follow-ups and corrections. Let's talk about trailers. We got a whole boatload of trailers this past week. We got some Xbox trailers too, but primarily what we're talking about right now is the Sony State of Play trailers. There was only one, count them, one exclusive announced for the Sony State of Play, and that one exclusive is Spider-Man 2. It's super exciting. Link in the description if you haven't seen it yet. This looks great. I wish this was the Spider-Man 3 movie from Sam Raimi. Like, I wish that this is the direction that it went back then, because that would have been a much more entertaining version of the black suit Spider-Man than what we got. And yeah, this looks great. This looks so good. Other noteworthy trailers from the weekend: Metal Gear 3 Remake, being now dubbed Metal Gear Delta. Konami has come out and made a statement as to why they went with Delta instead of Metal Gear 3 Remake. Delta, according to them, is a signifier of change. It is not only the third letter of the Greek alphabet, but also a signifier of change, and it sounds very military, and the signal just looks really cool, so I'm sure that played a bit of a factor. But yeah, Metal Gear Delta just looks incredible. This, though, is not going to be a one-for-one recreation of the game. This is going to be an interpretation of the game. They have said that they are going to keep the storyline intact, but there's going to be a lot of differences from the original game to what we're getting in this. Though, it's not a PlayStation exclusive. It is going to be coming to Xbox Series consoles. Super excited about that. We have more Metal Gear outside of the trailers section, so we'll get to that in a minute. But while we're still here, the other huge and very, very noteworthy trailer that we got from the Sony State of Play is Marathon. So Bungie is a subsidiary now of Sony. But Marathon is still coming out to on the Xbox consoles. They decided to launch the trailer for their new game at the Sony State of Play. It looks pretty awesome. It is an extraction shooter, so that's pretty cool. This is the game. This is the title of the game that Bungie had released before Halo, even. So this is kind of inspired by where things were in the gaming 90s, and then that's what where Halo came out of, and so now this is a reflection of that through the modern lens, and just it just looks really cool, and the artwork is always great. Bungie always knocks it out of the park with stuff like that. Very excited about this. It's a very short trailer, and I don't believe there is any actual in-game footage there, but still exciting. Let's move from trailers. Let's get into regular ass news. Continuing though with the Sony State of Play event, we got Project Q. This is a thing that nobody wanted. The new PlayStation handheld is a way of playing your PlayStation 5 games through remote play on a Wi-Fi network. Does anybody want this? Is that what the community was demanding, was a remote play device? Like, this isn't even, you have to be on, from what we understand, at least at this point, you have to be on the same Wi-Fi network as your PS5. So this is for people who just like walking through their house all the time? Like, this makes no sense at all. Why is this where they went with that? Unless there is something built into the handheld so that in a future update, it will then be, you'll then be able to play it through any Wi-Fi network or any mobile network or so on and so forth and what have you. So just a very strange, very possibly too early announcement from the geniuses over at Sony. But from there, let's talk a little bit about Nintendo suing everybody. Well, not everybody, but kind of. So Nintendo is not getting along with Steam. Steam made the announcement, and I believe we talked about it on the channel, but we very possibly didn't, because it was a fairly minor announcement, unless you're in the modding or vintage gaming community, which is relatively small when talking about gaming as a whole. But so Dolphin was set to be released on Steam. Dolphin, for those that don't know, is the engine that they use to play or to play ROMs for the not the Dreamcast. Dreamcast for the GameCube and the Switch, or the Wii, and I believe even the Wii U. There's Dolphin is effective for games on that platform as well. So you can play them effectively on your PC. There are ways to currently get Dolphin, but they were working on a build of the mod engine, I want to call it. They were working on a build of the engine for Steam so they could get mass production release effectively to the world at large. And then they received a cease and desist. It went, I believe they sent it to Steam, but they also sent to the developers of Dolphin. They sent them cease and desist as well. So Nintendo is effectively stopping the production of this in this fashion. Because again, you can go get Dolphin on your own. You kind of have to go, it takes a bit of doing, let's say, but it's still doable. So it seems that, and there's the Linus Tech Tips, they did their tech quickie, or the tech news rather, and they got into much better detail than I, so I'll maybe try and link to their news update down in the description. But yeah, it's a real sticky situation, and in the end, they're saying that doing this stifles creativity. If they were to allow Dolphin to be released on Steam, it would somehow stifle creativity. It's a strange situation, and Nintendo is turning very quickly into monster in some ways, but not quite as egregious. So there's that. And then from there, the other Metal Gear thing that we have to talk about in news is, I don't believe this was announced at the State of Play event, but this was announced at approximately the same time as the State of Play announcement for Metal Gear Delta. And that is Metal Gear Solid Master Collection, Volume 1, very specifically. So Master Collection, originally with the very first announcement, and then a couple days later, so just about 2 days ago, as I'm filming this, they made the announcement that it's not going to be just three Metal Gear games. It's actually going to be five Metal Gear games in the Master Collection Volume 1. Those five games, the original three that were announced with the initial announcement were Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid 2, and Metal Gear Solid 3. So updated versions graphically that are just basically the same as the game you remember from forever ago. And then just a couple of days ago, they announced also there will be Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2, which were MSX releases in their initial instance. And then I believe Metal Gear 2 got released stateside on the NES, but it was only called Metal Gear. And either way, the storyline is basically the same as Metal Gear Solid. So it's very interesting. It'll be really cool to see all of this for maybe new gamers to the franchise, but just great to have them all on a modern console. It will be released on all modern consoles outside of the Switch. So PlayStation 5, Xbox Series, as well as a Steam version of the Master Collection have all been announced. And the fact that this is a Volume 1 seems to imply that a Volume 2 might be somewhere down the road. So if we're looking at a Volume 2, that very potentially is going to include Peace Walker, Phantom Limb, a couple of those side Gaijin games, or Gaiden. Gaijin, Gaiden. Some of those Gaiden games. The card game, the turn-based game specifically I'm thinking of, and there was another PSP exclusive that I can't recall the title of anymore. But presumably that would be what we would get in a Volume 2, should that actually happen. Wouldn't be the first time that a Volume 1 was announced and that was the only game in the series. So, but that's what we got there. Next, we're moving over to NVIDIA. This is very interesting, not just for PC gamers, even though it is coming from NVIDIA, but for gamers as a whole, potentially. The interesting thing here is AI. I know that's kind of a weird thing to say these days, because AI's been around now for a hot second, and it's not new in any meaningful way anymore, except that this might be, because this is going to give developers the ability to make dynamic conversations possible with in-game NPCs. So the example that was given was a fishmonger, I believe is what he was, and you can just talk to this guy. It's a little creepy because animation, they can't preset the animations, so they have to make the face fluid, which kind of adds to the uncanny valley feeling, and it's a little creepy, but still, the potential here is kind of incredible for the immersiveness of gaming going forward. Because you could legitimately have a conversation with an AI bot as an NPC in games going forward. The engine that allows them to do this, they are calling Omniverse Avatar Cloud Engine. And they're going to license it to anyone who's willing to pay them for it. So I think that's incredibly cool. This is the logical extension of where we have been very recently in AI. We talked previously about something similar it was a racing game where the announcers for the racing game were going to be AI powered so that they could call things dynamically that were happening as they happened in game. This is taking that just a little bit further, and not only is this going to be talking about events, but this is going to be a personality embedded into this NPC and the history and all of the things. It's really cool. I don't know. I think this is going to do so much good for the consumer side of things. As far as like the talent side of things, the voice actors and so on and so forth that would typically be involved in such a project, you can't possibly do this with a regular voice actor. I'm sure someone could think of a way to do it, but this definitely means implies anyway that very likely you will have to do also not just an AI for the personality of the NPC, but AI for the voice of the NPC. So just it's kind of taking writers out of the game and voice actors out of the game. So it's a little scary, I'm not gonna lie, but still, as far as like being a consumer of content, this is incredible. I'm rambling, let's move on. Our last piece of regular ass news for gaming and tech has to do with Bethesda, has to do with Fallout New Vegas. It's actually just a real quick, sorry if that clickbaited anybody, very, very quick announcement. Fallout New Vegas is free on the Epic Game Store right now. Go download it because the best Fallout of modern Fallout is free. Why would you not go get it? That is what we have for regular ass news. That brings us into our gaming and tech suggestion for the week. We've done this before with previous games that have launched that have been kind of huge in my life personally. So we're doing it again with Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. This is our gaming and tech suggestion this week. I just can't stop playing it. Honestly, part of the reason why it took me so long to get around to doing this week's episode because I got a little distracted for about 6 hours playing Tears of the Kingdom. It's amazing. Just Nintendo has really outdone themselves with this one. This go play it if you haven't already. It's one of the best games that you're probably ever gonna play on any platform, and it's out now. So yeah, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom suggestion. Now, let's get into comic books and books, shall we, nerds? In comic books and books this week, it's kind of short-ish. We have Patrick Rothfuss, update on the King Killer Chronicles situation. We also have some new comic books announced, one of which being Wild Cards situation from Marvel. We'll get into that. So let's start with follow-ups and corrections. Our one follow-up has to do with Patrick Rothfuss. The King Killer Chronicles Doors of Stone is not what we're talking about, unfortunately, though it is in the King Killer Chronicles universe. A couple years ago, I think it was actually 2014, he released a book called The Slow Regard of Silent Things, and it was a short novella about the character Ari. Well, he's kind of doing that again. It's not going to be as short of a Slow Regard, but it is going to be a novella. It's going to be about the character Bast, so the Fae character that is in Kvothe's care, I think is how that should be worded. And it's going to be called, I just lost my notes, it's going to be called The Narrow Road Between Desires. I did not see an official release just yet, no release date, but when that gets announced, we will be talking about it. I really want Doors of Stone, but any little bit of the King Killer universe is a good thing to me. Let's move on, shall we? That brings us into regular ass news. In regular ass news, we have a new X-Men book being announced from Marvel. It's going to be Dark X-Men. Dark X-Men number one is going to be written by Steve Fox. The artist is going to be Jonas Scharf. It's Dark X-Men. This is kind of cool. The team that they're going to be using for this Dark X-Men is going to be Madeline Pryor, Havoc, Archangel, Gambit, Azazel, Zero, Albert, and M-Plate. Albert is super noteworthy because it's been so long since I've seen him even mentioned in the X-Men books, and he is an alternate version of Wolverine, kind of. He's like a cyborg Wolverine. It's a really cool backstory. I really hope they get into some great character development with these characters, because these are all fantastic characters that all very much deserve their own kind of mini arcs, if you will. So, very excited about this. Again, even though it's been some time since I've really been into Marvel books, I can see myself getting into this one. Next up on the regular ass news, we've got Wild Cards on the docket. Wild Cards is a George R.R. Martin book series that has been around since the 80s. I believe there's something upwards of like 25, maybe even 30 books in the series now. We've talked previously about them in the book suggestions because they're fantastic. George R.R. Martin is not the sole author of the book series. Many of the vast majority of the books don't even have a single author because they're a collection of shorter stories that tell an overarching main story. Rothfuss, stuck on Patrick Rothfuss. George R.R. Martin is the editor. He does write some of the stuff as well, but primarily he just puts it together and decides how that overarching story for each book is going to come across. And then each book is part of a larger whole. Obviously, all 20, 30 plus books are telling a giant story altogether. So it's pretty awesome. If you haven't read them, I absolutely recommend it. But now we have a comic book series that is also going to be written by George R. R. Martin. It's going to be called Wild Cards Now and Then. It will be on sale July 25th. Actually, I take that back. It's going to be edited by Martin. It's going to be written by Carrie Vaughn. That's right, I remember. And then art is going to be from Renee DeLise. I think a little bit of the art has been released so far. It looks amazing. I'm super excited about it. I'm very interested to see Carrie Vaughn's take on this very well-established universe. Has me a little worried, because it's not the greatest track record when we're taking a well-established universe in current year and doing new things with it. So instead of just continuing what has been done since it was established. So a little trepidation there, but still hopeful, if that makes any sense. So from there, we have one other big comic book announcement. We have Nick Fury, in keeping in Marvel side of things. Nick Fury is retiring. The character, legitimately, Marvel is retiring the character. Will no longer be Nick Fury Sr. Nick Fury is still going to be a staple part of the Marvel Universe. It's just going to be Nick Fury Jr. from now on. And I don't know, again, it's been some time since I've really been in deep with the Marvel side of comic books. I didn't realize this was a thing. I mean, I think I knew at some level that he had a son called Jr., but like, why this is necessary is very much beyond me. So, I don't know, maybe that's a conversation starter. Why do we need to switch from senior to junior? Why is that significant? I have no idea, but it was significant enough to make an announcement for it, so we're talking about it. That, though, is what we have for regular-ass news. Let's talk now about comic books and books. Suggestion for the week. We're going with another book. I don't have it on me. It's over on the shelf somewhere. I couldn't find it, but I know I have it, and it is The Slow Regard of Silent Things, that Patrick Rothfuss book that we alluded to in the first bit of this section. A book about Ari. It's honestly, so Seinfeld, this is a weird connection to make, right? Seinfeld is a show about nothing, or so they claim. This book, Slow Regard of Silent Things, is legitimately a book where nothing happens, but in the most beautiful way. And I'm just going to leave that there as your suggestion. That is your suggestion for books this week. It's a real quick read. It's like, I don't know, sub 200 pages. Go read it. It will be a beautiful excursion in time to just let your brain rest with all of those amazing pros. Yeah, that's your suggestion. I'm rambling. Let's move on. So now we have to talk about TV shows, and as we kind of said in the intro to the episode, not a whole lot going on here because of the writer's strike. We do have a little bit. We have the Witcher announcement that seems a little perplexing. We also have Star Trek Strange New Worlds in here twice, as well as Mandalorian in the regular S news part of this TV. Let's do this. All right, so follow-ups and corrections. First up, Millerverse, the Mark Millar universe of comic books that he owns himself. We have, he's got a first view, what are those contracts called? First view, something like that. A contract with Netflix so that whenever he comes up with an idea, they get to see it and take it first. And then if they don't take it, then he has some time to shop it around after so many months. So coming from that deal, we have a new series called The Chosen One. This series is based on the American Jesus comic book. It will be out August 16th on Netflix because they apparently got it done before the writer's strike happened. And it's just been in editing since. But I can understand why they didn't go with the original title of the comic book, because then presumably you'd alienate a very vast chunk of your potential audience in at least America. So that's that. Next up, we're talking about The Witcher. Oh yeah, The Witcher. There's a big announcement as far as Netflix goes. They just greenlit a season 5. And I don't think anybody wanted that. I'll walk that back slightly. It remains to be seen if anybody wants that, because after season three, we no longer have Henry Cavill as Geralt, and then we have to deal with the Hemsworth brother, Liam, I believe is the Hemsworth. And so very much going to lose a lot of their audience because it's no longer Cavill. But then potentially, if it's not very good with Hemsworth as Geralt, you're going to lose a lot more of your audience. So this is probably a little premature, Netflix, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me. From there, real quick announcement for Walking Dead, Rick and Michonne series, which still does not have its own individualized title. That's just the working title is Rick and Michonne, which very well could stick. Who knows? But we do know that they have wrapped on principal photography for this season. Photography. I don't know why I always say fur. Photography, they've wrapped. So presumably we're going to be seeing this very shortly after Dead City, because Dead City's already in the middle of marketing, promotion, so on and so forth, and we'll be rolling out soonish. I can't think of the date right now, but then shortly thereafter we get Rick and Michonne. That's going to be interesting. We also know now that the Dead City series has a plan, at the very least, for approximately 3 to 5 seasons. But we don't know much more about Rick and Michonne if it's going to go past just a single season or not. So super intrigued by that. Let's move right along, though. Our other follow-up has to do with Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Strange New Worlds, the entire first season is available for free on YouTube, not on Paramount Plus, where the season 2 is going, and all of season 1 already is. So yeah, if a lot of these streamers will put the first episode of a new season up, these guys said, all right, the season's done, we've kind of milked it for what it's worth, let's give it to the masses and see what happens for free. So absolutely, if you're looking for your Star Trek fix and you don't feel like paying for Paramount Plus, then you get Strange New Worlds. I have yet to finish the first season, but now that it's all for free, I'm probably going to do that. And we're probably going to talk about it in the That Just Happened show as I do it. So, you know, stay tuned for that. But that's what we have for follow-ups and corrections. Let's talk about trailers. Speaking of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, season 2 dropped another trailer. It's pretty awesome. Live long and prosper. Bat right back at you, Mr. Spock. We have season 2, June 15th, will be launching on Paramount Plus. We're just 2 weeks away. It looks huge. Super excited about it. Moving on. Our other trailers have to do with Black Mirror, a proper story trailer. We get to see how the series is going to, or the episodes rather of the series are going to play out at least a little bit. And so definitely see where they're going with some of this stuff, and it looks pretty awesome. Go check it out. Links for all these in the description. And then our final trailer that launched this week that is of note is Righteous Gemstones Season 3. New trailer, the new series is going to be June 18th. It is a little puzzling because John Goodman's character is in a lot of the shots in this trailer. And at the same time, some other shots, they're talking about how the kids have to keep things going. So are we going to see a death in the, or am I just really not remembering how season 2 ended and he already died? I mean, if he was already dead in season 2, then why would he be so prevalent in the trailer for season 3? Just seems odd. I think we're looking at John Goodman character death. I can't think of his name, the Daddy Gemstone, whatever. Super stoked to see this season happen, but very confused. From there, we have one piece of regular ass news. And that one piece has to do with The Mandalorian. Mandalorian news is that it is awards season time. They are putting in for Amet Best to be eligible for an Emmy. This is really cool. I mean, like, nobody gives a shit about the Emmys anymore anyway. Like, Oscars, Emmys, like, the only people that really care about that are the people who work in Hollywood, not the people who actually consume the content. But that being said, it's still huge that Ahmed Best, who at one point was considering major self-harm because of the role they gave him in the prequel trilogy, is now respected enough by the people who create the show that they want to put him in for an Oscar, or an Emmy rather, and that's awesome. I think the community has come around and is very accepting of Ahmed these days. So yeah, this is great. I really, really love this. From that though, that's all we have for news and all we have for the things. Let's talk about TV suggestion for the week, and that is Black Mirror. Go play catch up. It is a real quick catch up game because none of the seasons are very long. As a matter of fact, they get significantly shorter as you progress. I think the first season was like 10 episodes. The second season was like 8 episodes. Second and third season, I believe, were about 8 episodes. And then the last season that aired was only 3 episodes, if I'm remembering correctly. There are a couple of one-off long-form... I don't want to necessarily call them movies. It was just the one long-form, and it was the pick-your-own-adventure one, which was... pretty nuts, actually. So all of it's still available on Netflix, and I don't know that BBC still has the rights to stream it or what, but yeah, pretty awesome. It's a great series. You just got to play catch up. There's no reason to not love this show. And then movies, it's the shortest category again, but writer strike, so it is what it is. We do have a little bit to talk about though. First up, we have Mortal Kombat 2 casting stuff. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer just dropped. I'm pretty hype about it. As well as John Wick announcement that has me a little confused, not gonna lie. So, starting things off in follow-ups and corrections, real quick, let's talk about Deadpool 3. We know that they are now currently filming, and that factors into the rumor mill, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, currently filming Deadpool 3, super excited. Moving on. Next is Mortal Kombat 2. Even more excited because we just got the announcement of who is going to play Kitana. Kitana is going to be played by Adeline Rudolph. Adeline is known for, she was in Resident Evil, she was in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. She was one of the weird sisters with, what was the other girl's name? Tati Gabrielle. So the two of the weird sisters from the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina are now going to be in Mortal Kombat 2, and I'm super stoked about it. Tati Gabrielle, if you don't remember, has been announced as Jade. I believe that has now officially been confirmed, so we can say that with confidence. So sweet. More casting. I can dig it. Still don't know how I feel about the Johnny Cage casting in the whole Baraka situation, if those leaks are accurate, but that's rumors for another time. Then from there, we've got Good Burger 2. We've been keeping track of this movie for some time. Also begun principal photography. That's exciting. And then we have two pieces on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. First up, on the follow-ups side of things, is the soundtrack, the score, the music for this movie is going to be, in fact, done by Atticus Ross and Trent freaking Reznor. So even if the movie is a steaming garbage fire, sorry, first day with the new lips. So even if the movie is a steaming garbage fire, the soundtrack's going to be amazing. So that's always a good thing, right? Silver linings, as I like to see. From that, though, we have a new trailer. Trailers. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, new trailer. This feels like it's going to be done right in most ways. I still feel like the April O'Neil thing's a little weird and unnecessary and going to be a distraction from the what looks like it's going to be a fantastic movie. I'm really, really digging a couple of things about this. Art style, I'm really digging the fact that they hired kids to do teenagers' voices, so teenage voice actors doing teenage characters. Makes sense. And just like they're not doing Shredder as the main bad guy, it's gonna be Superfly, voiced by Ice Cube. This trailer just like definitely got me very much back on board for the TMNT train. Psyched. And also, was that Baxter Stockman in the background? One of those shots, rather? Let's talk about that. Anyway, that's all we have for trailers, for movies, stuff and things. Let's talk about some regular-ass news. So without burying the lead too far in regular-ass news, new announcement, John Wick 5 has been announced. That's right, a fifth movie in the Keanu Reeves franchise has been announced. I haven't seen 4, but I know at least kind of how it ends, and How is that possible? I believe they did something similar from 3 into 4, so maybe they'll pull, I don't know, but yeah, John Wick 5, officially, but not a rumor. I thought it was a rumor when I first heard it. Definitely not a rumor. This is happening. Okay, so from there we have Half-Baked 2. I think this was rumored to be happening previously, and it is now officially rolling forward. We have a couple of very interesting developments on the Half-Baked 2 situation. First up, it is no longer called Half-Baked 2. It's called Half-Baked Totally High. Returning actors for this movie from the original movie, we only have two. We have Harlan Williams, who will play Kenny. He was the one who went to jail or prison in the first movie. And then we have Rachel True will be returning as Mary Jane, who Dave Chappelle's character ends up with at the end of the movie. Spoiler alert. But yeah, Jim Brewer and Dave Chappelle both are not coming back for this movie. And it is being said that they will not even be doing a cameo. No walk-on, no quick shot of the face a la Brad Pitt in Deadpool 2. None of that is happening for Half-Baked 2 as far as Jim Brewer and Dave Chappelle are concerned. At least not at this moment. So yeah, very strange situation. That's all we got for all of the news and the things. So let's talk about movie suggestions. This week's movie suggestion, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. What, I mean, what, where else would you think I was gonna go? This is the kind of the standard that all other Ninja Turtles movies have been held to since its release. It is awesome. There is so much great about this movie, not just through nostalgia goggles, but just as a movie as a whole. This is very well done when you compare it to a lot of other like low budget superhero and things movies in the same vein. Even compared to modern movies in a lot of ways, this is just held up very, very well. Go watch the original Ninja Turtles movie, came out in 1990, just Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That is your suggestion for the week. And then we have a rumor mill to talk about. That's right, rumor mill! We have a Clayface update, or a new source for the Clayface rumor. That's a little bit better. We have a couple of Star Wars rumors to talk about, and Kathleen Kennedy really grasping at straws these days, as well as Resident Evil making its way back into the rumor mill for non-video game reasons. So, let's talk about, first up, we have a couple of confirmations. I take that back. One confirmation, one refutation. We'll get to it. The confirmation is Metal Gear is actually happening. The Metal Gear remake, Metal Gear Solid 3. Let's be very specific here. Metal Gear Solid 3 is happening. The remake, now being called Metal Gear Solid Delta. Yeah, we talked about it in the gaming section. This is just, you know, confirmation. Then the refutation that we got is actually a rumor that I did not catch wind of until it was already refuted. That rumor, it has also, is a gaming rumor, has to do with CD Projekt Red, the developer that brought us The Witcher and Cyberpunk 2077. The CD Projekt is not, in fact, looking to be bought by anyone, least of all by Sony. They enjoy their independence, as said by the CEO. Not happening, refuted. Let's move on. So, new sources for old rumors is where we're going next. We have a new source on the Deadpool 3 rumors. Previously, we've been talking about how Deadpool 3 is supposed to take Wade Wilson through the multiverse, starting in the Fox universe and then ending up in the MCU. And that's how we get Ryan Reynolds' version of Deadpool in the MCU, because presumably they could have another Deadpool that is MCU native and things and things and things and stuff. But we know that they are, you know, filming currently in London. And it has been rumored that not only has Hugh Jackman posted things to his social showing us his Wolverine, we already know this, but rumored that we're seeing Halle Berry on set. So that kind of sort of, if this rumor is to be believed, that would confirm previous rumors about Fox Universe also reportedly been seeing, I didn't write it down because I just saw the image on my Twitter before I came up to film. I believe it was Ian McKellen's Magneto and possibly even Patrick Stewart's Professor X. Those two, I think, also, but that might just be me misremembering things saw on a blurry image. So, yeah. Either way, I do know that the rumor very specifically mentions Halle Berry. Yeah, that just kind of makes sense in so many ways. Our next rumor, continuing with the Superman legacy rumors, because it's not going to stop until the movie comes out. First up, we have two very, very good sources confirming, quote unquote, confirming that Brainiac is going to, quote unquote, really be in this movie. The sources can't agree as to what degree Brainiac is going to be in this movie, but they do say Brainiac is going to be in this movie. One of them says he's going to be the primary villain. One of them says he's going to have the after-credit stinger kind of situation. So, yeah, that's a little too disparate to really talk about beyond that, but that's the rumors. We also have another rumor attached to Superman Legacy, and that is who is going to potentially be directing this movie, and that is Andy Muschietti, who is currently directing The Flash, or just directed The Flash, also did the It remake movies, and has done a number of other things. Muschietti, sure, solid. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't done anything horrible, so there's that. We don't talk about percentages for new sources, though. That's why we're rushing through this. We got Clayface. The rumored movie now has a rumored director. Mike Flanagan is now being attached to the director's seat for Clayface. Doesn't seem super freaking likely, because Mike Flanagan has a very full plate right now, but, you know, maybe I'm just reading the situation correctly. Who knows? We'll be keeping tabs for sure. And then our final new source for old rumors has assembled, if you will, a Fantastic Four final casting. So the final casting, according to the rumor mill, for the family, for the first family of Marvel, is Adam Driver as Reed Richards, Margot Robbie as Sue Storm, Paul Mescal as Johnny Storm, and David Diggs as Ben Grimm. That is your rumored final cast, according to the rumor mill. We've talked about all of these, because these are all previous rumors that are just kind of amalgamated into one at this point. So let's get into new rumors, shall we? Because this is where the fun begins. We get to speculate on things. So first up, let's talk about these Star Wars rumors, shall we? So this is kind of new rumor or a new source for an old rumor, but this is a pretty big elaboration, rumor unto itself, because reportedly the Rey movie is no longer a rumor. It is somewhere in development. This new rumor says that as a very transparent last-ditch attempt at winning the favor of the fandom, Kathleen Kennedy has dictated that Mark Hamill and Hayden Christensen are going to be a part of the Rey movie to some degree. Don't know exactly what the rumor was, not specific in that instance, but this one has a little bit of credence added to it, because Mark Hamill was asked very specifically about this by Esquire magazine, and he very much danced around the answer. So it kind of lends itself to this. So the likelihood we're giving this specific Star Wars rumor is 80%, just because Kathleen Kennedy is involved and Mark Hamill's really non-answer to Esquire definitely says that this is happening. The other Star Wars rumor that we have has to do with the Ahsoka series. Temuera Morrison has been rumored to be cast as Captain Rex in Ahsoka, which kind of makes a lot of sense, because they're still dealing with clone troopers at that time, so he would be based on Temuera Morrison's character in the prequel series, Jango Fett. I almost forgot Jango's name, and I apologize. But yeah, so likelihood for this one, this is way too fan servicey to not give a high probability. This sounds exactly like something Dave Filoni would do, and so 75% likely he will actually do it. From there, we have a Witcher rumor to discuss. Apparently, Dolph Lundgren is being rumored to be attached to the starring position in a spin-off series from the Netflix series that we are getting right now with Henry Cavill and then eventually with Liam Hemsworth. The new series is going to be based on the book Time of Contempt, specifically the rats from that book. I've never read the books. I'm unfamiliar, so I don't know. But season 3 of the Netflix show is supposedly going to be based largely on that book. So somewhere in here, we'll get something resembling like a backdoor pilot probably for said Dolph Lundgren series. So we'll be able to debunk this once the series drops, or season rather, drops on Netflix. So likelihood here, it comes from a pretty good source, so like it just kind of lends itself very well. Also, Netflix doing everything they can to maintain a good name for the Witcher franchise kind of makes sense. We're going to go 70% likely that this is going to be a thing. From there, we have a new Resident Evil movie being rumored to be in development. The working title, at the very least, of said Resident Evil movie is called Umbrella Chronicles. Interesting. Comes from a pretty good source. This source is usually fairly accurate, but it's the only sort. Nobody else is talking about this just yet. There's no one confirming, no one saying anyone's attached to this project, anything like that. So it's really hard to get any sort of confirmation. We're looking at about 50% likely that we will be seeing an Umbrella Chronicles movie in the Resident Evil franchise. Then we have this one, it kind of has my interest piqued a little bit. My Hero Academia is rumored to be getting a live action Netflix series. Netflix, I'm pretty sure Netflix owns these rights. I don't think they're anywhere else, because My Hero Academia, as far as I know, no, I take that back. They are streaming somewhere in the States. So, oof, I gave this a little too high. I was going to say 60%, but no, this seems less likely now. We're going to put this at 50%. This is, again, I should go a little bit lower, but it's a very good source. So we'll say it can go either way, even though I feel like it's probably not likely. And then our final rumor for the episode. Rebel Moon, Zack Snyder's Star Wars movie that wasn't, or that is going to be, but is no longer a Star Wars movie. Rebel Moon, according to the rumor, is that they're going to take this Rebel Moon movie, assuming it does well, and Zack Snyder has a pretty good track record on the Netflix platform, and they're going to turn it into its own franchise. They're going to have many movies, series, etc., 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 all attached to this universe that Zack Snyder is creating. 95%, like, I'm not even gonna like waste your time with the reasons why this could go the other direction. I'm pretty sure they have alluded to this enough at this point that yes, if Rebel Moon does well, and it seems that it's very likely, there's going to be at the very least two other movies in this universe. Assuming those movies do well, then we're going to get a series, then we're going to get the anime, going to get X, Y, and Z are going to happen. But yeah, I at the very least think we're going to be getting a trilogy out of the Rebel Moon series. So yeah, 95% likely that that is the case. That, nerds, is where I leave you for the episode. Thank you very much for joining me. Everyone who is on any of the platforms, I'm looking at you, Nerdy Legion, Ben, Big Show Entertainment Network, any of the other audio outlets. Thank you very much for joining me, nerds. If I forgot something and you're on a place where you can comment, then do so. Otherwise, find me on the socials. Do that. Go check out all of the outlets and all of the other offerings they have. Specifically, I'm thinking Nerdy Legion. There is a whole network of nerdy podcasts associated there, so go check out all of them. Thank you very much, nerds, for your time. I appreciate your faces. Before we go, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, probably here.